All right. As you are aware, we've been talking about fathers, mothers, what's it mean to be, and this is Fathers and Mothers Part 4. And this will be the last of the series, though I'm sure we will not, I'm sure we'll be hearing more about fathering and mothering, mentoring, discipling, whatever term you choose to use in the future, because it's part of the adjustment that God is making and has made and is making in where we're going. So, Father, I thank you that you are God. I thank you that you're holy and high and lifted up and that you're mighty in name and stature. I thank you that you have chosen us to be your sons and daughters. That's just overwhelming to me. Just overwhelming. And that you're our Father, and that you care deeply, more deeply than anybody else. And I ask that you would just help us to grow in you each day, each moment of each day. And Lord, that you would just speak through me this morning, and that which is of you would pierce our hearts. And if I say anything that's not of you, that it would just fall on the floor before us. And the church said, amen. Okay. As I said, we've been talking about fathers and mothers. We've been talking about how we all need to be fathers and mothers. But before we can be fathers and mothers, we also need to have fathers and mothers in our lives to help us to grow up, to help us to become all that God has called us to be. Now, I find that amazing and something that we need to understand, and it takes the pressure off of us. But to be fathers and mothers, we don't have to be perfect. Can you imagine what the pressure would be on us if we felt like we had to be perfect? And I know at times we can come to that place where we need feel like we have to be perfect, but the truth of the matter is we don't. Yet we are perfect in Christ. Okay? And because we're perfect in Christ, we can imitate our Father, capital F, to the best of our ability. Sounds like they're having a party downstairs. Anybody want to go join? No, I'm just kidding. Don't anybody raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. But we need to understand, too, that as we're not perfect, part of the thing that goes on is there are things that can go on in our lives, that can go on around us, that could possibly hinder us from being the best fathers that and the best mothers that God called us to be. Personally, based upon 47 years of walking with the Lord, I think there's two that inhibit us more than anything as far as us moving forward and being good fathers and mothers. The first one is we have a difficult time in believing that he really loves us. And heads are going up and down. But you know something? It's a lie from the very pit of hell. Is and when you think that, if you ever think that, you need to just go, that is a lie. That is a lie. The father of all lies, the mother of all lies. Because he does love us. See, Scripture says that he loved us before time. Ephesians 1:4, New Living Translation. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And you know, he didn't create us until after he made the world and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And we can know that he loves us. Romans 5:5, again, NLT. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Because why? Because he's given us Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. when we became Christians, Holy Spirit came into our lives and he filled our hearts with the love of God. It's there. It's there. And that then enables us to love one another. 1 John 4:11, again, NLT. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Now, God is not a God that goes around and gives us commands knowing that we will fail so he can sit on his chair and laugh. His throne, excuse me. He knows we can do it because, going back to the previous scripture, we have Holy Spirit. And this all leads to the second thing that keeps us from being a good father, a good mother. The second thing we have a difficult time really believing. Can we really trust God? See, the trouble with being a good father and a good mother, if we don't believe that he really loves us, and if we don't believe we can trust him, what do you think we're going to pass on? We may say it, but in mentoring and discipling, our actions are just as important. And if our actions in our life is dictating that we don't believe God loves us and we don't believe we can trust him, what do you think your sons and daughters are going to pick up? Just saying. But we can trust God. Because we know he loves us, and because we know he loves us, we can trust his love. That, you know, going back to scripture before, but 1 John 4:16, again in the NLT. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And because we put our trust in God's love, we can understand and we can live in his love, which enables us to trust him. Which David tells us to do, Psalm 62:8, ESV. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. So I'm asking us this day, I'm asking myself, I'm asking all of us to make the same declaration David did in Psalm 56:4, ESV. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. And because we trust him, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? The worst it can do is send you to be with Jesus. That's not all bad, guys. Because surely God is trustworthy. 2 Corinthians 1:18, I'm reading this one from the Complete Jewish Bible. As surely as God is trustworthy, and the reason I chose the CJB, in most of the Bibles, NLT, ESV, and others, it says, as surely as God is faithful. But when you look at that Greek word, it says, the definition of it is, God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. God loves us. We can trust God. And I fully understand, just looking back over my life, how we can be tempted as we go through the valleys to go, where's God? But he's there in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. First off, we're just going through, but his rod and his staff. He's there. God loves us, and we can trust him. We can take that to the bank, and we can pass it on to our sons and daughters, our spiritual sons and daughters. I understand, guys, I really do, that we may not always walk it out. You know, what we say, it's okay not to be perfect, because we're not perfect. And we may not always walk it out. But if it's in our heart, if we're meditating on the fact that God loves us, if we're meditating on the fact that we trust him, then we're going to walk more and more into the belief of that with each passing day. because we can do that, because we know that we have Jesus as our Savior. See, we can choose. It's like last night we were talking about love. What is love? Love is a choice. The world thinks it's this, these emotions. When the emotions flee away, the divorces come. But it's a choice. Who here, you know, I mean, it's a choice. But as we make the choices, the emotions come back often. But as we do this, it helps us to see that there's a bigger picture than just ourselves. The picture that spiritual mothers and fathers we really want to pass on. There is something bigger than just ourselves, than even this house. And see, as we meditate upon the fact that God loves us, as we meditate on the fact that we can trust Him, our vision for this house and for the kingdom of God will grow. Because why would you want to pass on the truth of a God that you can't trust and you don't think loves you? You won't. You really won't. I didn't when I believed it. I believed he was just like my natural father. Saved me, went off to the big Jamaica in the sky. Forget the nurturing, forget the taking care of me. He did his job. We want to grow. And this is one of the ways to grow. Now, there's other things I understand can impede us, but those are the two biggies from my perspective. And as we grow in them, it will help us to have a greater agenda for building the kingdom of God, building the church where God has planted us. An agenda that sees people free while walking into all that God has for them. Because as we believe it, our hearts, that love that is already in our hearts, because remember the scripture before, that the Holy Spirit is placed there, will blossom and will burst out and begin to touch others around. And we'll walk in that rather than an agenda for ourselves. Because we don't have to walk in an agenda for ourselves. We can trust that God will take care of us. I mean, how many scriptures say that? And isn't he a God that just loves to bless his children?
Yes, he is.
Just a thought. Remember, what we're about is raising spiritual sons and daughters to be spiritual fathers and mothers so they can raise spiritual sons and daughters and we can have spiritual grandchildren. Who doesn't want grandchildren? I watch parents over and over to get grandchildren, and you begin to wonder what happened to the relationship with their kids. The kids and the grandchildren walk in, and, "Hi, Hank." "Ah, come here." It's like, "Hi, remember me? I'm your daughter." Pardon?
What? Is that your daughter, Hank?
Yeah, your daughter. Okay, so your daughter, Hank. But all of this happens as we walk into all God has for us. I want to ask you three questions. What are your God-given dreams? What name has God given you? Oh, God can give you a name? What's your destiny? Have you asked God these three questions? They're big. And when you think about them, it's not about arrogance. It's about whatever God has asked you to do, because it's significant, it's important, and if he's asked you to do it, it's huge. Whatever it is. See, as we pursue who we really are, as we pursue who we are, our name, as we pursue our destiny, as we dream big dreams that God has given us, and we pursue those, I think wonderful things are going to happen. Wonderful things besides just us walking into what God has for us. Because I think as we do that, we will begin to just naturally father and mother people we aren't even aware of. Because when we walk into those things, all God has for us, I believe that there's a mantle that falls upon each and every one of us. And that mantle is huge. It's a spiritual mantle that as we walk through life, being the name God has given us, as we walk through life with the vision that God has given us, as we walk through life with the dreams that God has given us, that mantle is eternal. It's huge. And it's a mantle that will just naturally touch those that we come in contact with. And it will impact them because it's the Holy Spirit. It's our destiny. It's our dreams. And when you take that and combine it with the fact that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in us, helping us and working through us, wow. It's just amazing. Because as we walk with all that understanding, our conversation, that which comes out of our mouth, that which rolls off of our tongue, will be full of the Holy Spirit, will go into people's hearts from our mouths, and we will naturally make sons and daughters. And we'll stand back and go, wow, look what God did. And He used me. He used you. See, God is very efficient. Do you know that we serve an efficient God? Mm-hmm. He uses every aspect of our lives for good as we surrender to Him. Mm-hmm. Here's a hard one to swallow, maybe. Even our paths. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, Romans 8:28. See, as we walk in understanding that He loves us and that we can trust Him, amazing things happen. Our lives are changed. We're turned upside down. We don't fear. We understand that He's right there with us, always for us. But at the same time, just a little warning, we have to understand that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm laughing because I wrote down sheep and wolves clothing. I'm glad I didn't look at that note. And they will try to take away our destiny. They will try to tell us our name that God has given us is a lie. And then they will even try to destroy our dreams. And they might even come forth as your best friend or somebody you know. That's why God tells us to think more highly in the Scriptures, more highly of others than ourselves. That's why God tells us to encourage and strengthen and prophesy. Why He gave us the gift of prophecy, so we can build people up. Because that's what we're about, not tearing down. But I guarantee that if you keep yourself centered upon Christ, upon the triune God, then these things are not going to happen. You'll recognize the lies. You won't question when somebody comes along and says, well, maybe that wasn't God. But you got to keep yourself centered on Christ. Back to God loves us. We can trust Him. But we're going to add another one. He is good. Luke 18:19, NLT, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, only God is truly good. You want an anchor to your life of goodness, then there's only one anchor that you can anchor to. And that's God. Because he's the only one that's good. I love my wife, and she loves me. But if we anchor our lives to each other, we'll have some issues. We have to anchor them to God. And as we do, as we walk that out, I promise you, I'd put it in writing. I put a $1,000 bond down on it. You will produce fruit. Now, some of it may be seen from heaven, if you catch my drift. But also, as we discussed last week, everybody you cast seed to may not produce 30, 60, 100 fold. But we will see good fruit. Again, maybe some after we've gone to heaven. Because we chose to believe God. We chose to believe his word. We chose to believe him. And because we chose to throw our mantles, which he has given us, on our sons and daughters so they can grow into fathers and mothers. Because again, it wasn't about us, but we chose to line up with God's word and his will. See, we all should have goals that align with our destiny and dreams, the ones that God gave us. Sons and daughters should have the goal of being someone any mother or father would be proud of. Fathers and mothers should have a goal of being value setters, imitators of Christ, just as Paul was, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. As we walk the walk, we must do our best to always show forth Christ, knowing that sometimes we won't. And there's an answer to that. It's called repentance. Because if we're not showing forth Christ, it may be sin. One of the greatest ways you can father or mother a son or a daughter is to be humble. It's nice to know that sometimes we'll fail and God won't write us off. I mean, think about David. Have you done what he did? How about Peter? How about that, denying Jesus 3 times? Jonah. Forget it, Lord. I don't want those people saved. Paul. You know? I don't do what I should do, and I do what I don't want to do. That's Paul. So here's a big question. Something that we really need to think about as we choose to walk along with people, to mentor them, to father them, to mother them, disciple them, whatever word you want to use. Are you willing to do that even if you get no credit? See, godly fathers and godly mothers tell their sons and daughters who they, the sons and daughters are, who Jesus is in them, not who the fathers and mothers are. You understand what I'm saying? And fathers and mothers also encourage sons and daughters to stretch, to go and minister in areas that maybe the father or mother didn't even minister in. To see how God is going to use them in certain areas so they can walk into all that God has for them. I've said in the past, I think recently, as last week, that the church needs the fivefold ministry. Part of what I said last week is to go across the different local churches to help tear down the walls. And that's true. But I want to add to it this week that they also help the local churches to mature in Christ, to walk more and more into maturity. Now, don't get me wrong about something. It's not a badge of honor to have a title. You won't impress God when you get to the pearly gates and you say, well, I was an elder in training. He looks upon the heart. Even in what Terry was sharing about with tithing, with giving, he looks upon the heart. He saw that widow woman's heart, how much she loved him. Doesn't matter if you make mistakes. What matters if you learn from them? When I worked for the state, and I had 30-some people working for me, so I was dealing with mistakes throughout the week. But they knew that if they could come in and talk to me or talk to their supervisor and say, this is what I did wrong, I learned this from that, and I understand that when I do this, this is going to happen, versus if when I do this and I thought that would happen, that that's not true, and so I won't make that mistake again, that they were going to be okay. If they kept saying, doing the same thing over and over again, we'd have a different discussion. But making mistakes is a great teacher. I have no idea where I am here. What'd you say?
Church.
Thank you.
How did that settle?
I love that there's so many people willing to help me. See, it's about the heart. It's about going forth even if you make mistakes. It's about how you serve. It's about how the love that God has placed in your heart is manifested. Because it's always demonstrated by what we do. I mean, it's like your spouse or a friend or a significant whatever. You go, I love you. And you never demonstrate it. It's kind of hollow. It's about what we do. So I want to close this with just some thoughts. The more we focus on the Father's heart, the more we will be on track. Jesus came to earth to bring us victory. We win. We've won. Intimacy with the Father will bring fresh revelation. God has given us and is giving us the rod of authority that we need to do what he's called us to do. We must never lose the spirit of repentance. We must always remember that our position is that we are seated in heavenly places. And I'm not talking about the chairs in the sanctuary. We will be able to address sin, while at the same time we'll be able to honor people. See, in times of brokenness, we often see the greatest miracles. We must honor our fathers and mothers as well as our sons and daughters. There are still doors in front of us. We haven't arrived. Of authority, of who we are, of our name being called, our destiny we must walk out. As a prophet once said to me, it's not time to retire, it's time to refire. We must walk in God's love while trusting that love in Him. See, I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that if we walk into what we've been talking about, our church will be strengthened. But not only that, we will be used to build the kingdom of God in this community and beyond. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. So let me ask you again. Let me put it this way. Do we really want to know our name? Do we really want to know our destiny? Do we really want to know our God-given dreams? Do we really want to dream big? Do we really want to fulfill our destiny in Christ? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to do that? Do we really have a vision? Do we want a vision to go beyond ourselves through our spiritual children and into our spiritual grandchildren? I choose to believe that we do. See, to put it simply, we're called not only to grow in Christ, but to also share our stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as the lessons learned as we walk the walk and grew in maturity. It's really that simple. So again, I ask, what name has God given you? What's your destiny? What are your dreams? I want to share this thought with you that God gave me. All too often, and applies to me, all too often as I walk through life, I look around and I see folks as if they were swimming in oceans while I seem to be swimming in a fishbowl. But this is what God says to you. Same thing He said to me. I want you in the ocean because that's where you belong. Because I created the ocean for you. Not the fishbowl you created. See, we must always see ourselves from a different angle. We must see ourselves from the point of view that God sees us, not from the fishbowl. We sell ourselves short because when we start thinking bigger, we go, oh, that's awful arrogant of you. And we might have some friends who will come along and say, that's awful arrogant of you. But it's a lie. If we're walking and want to walk into what God has told us, then it's good. See, we need to believe what I wrote in my book, that we haven't forfeited anything in God, no matter where we are, or no matter what we have done. It's still there. See, this is what God gave me in Dover. You know what my name is? He told me this. My name is Blessed of God. That's my name. You know what my destiny is? I'm part of the Joshua generation. And I have been called to help lead the generation that follows into all that God has for them. I didn't ask for that. That's what He gave me. But it was very important because there were some things that God had spoken to me over the years that I have forgotten. That came pouring back into my mind and remembrance. And there's things that God has spoken to you that you've forgotten. That is calling you beyond where you are today. See, it's extremely important for us to understand and to know who we are and what our destiny is. Because I want to say this. and it's up on the screen, and I want you to understand this. Because we all have an assignment that no one else can fulfill. Did you hear that? Each person in this room, in this church, in the churches throughout the city, have an assignment that no one else can fulfill. Does that make you feel important? It should, because you are. You're an integral piece to building the kingdom of God. You're a needed piece to building your kingdom of God. And I don't give 2 cents for what Satan tells you when he tells you less. You know, I used to wrestle all the time with this. Gary, you're the pastor of this church, but don't make it known because that'll be kind of arrogant. I didn't ask for it. I was walking down High Street. I even asked God if he knew who I was. And then I went to my pastor and said, this is what God said, but I know you know the truth. And then we went to the Board of Elders. And each one of you have a call just as significant because you all have an assignment that no one else can fill. And it's based upon your name. It's based upon your destiny. It's based upon your God-given dreams. I pray that this is penetrating our hearts because there's so much power in this. There's so much strength in this. There's so much authority in this. I can't do it without you. And guess what? You can't do it without me. And we can't do it without each other. That's how God set it up. You know? We are all spiritual creatures, ordained and called by God, loved by God, people who can trust God, that have a call upon our life, a destiny, and a name to go with it. All of us. Not one Christian is excluded. And if the Satan tells you or anybody else tells you, bring them to me and I'll smack them. And I feel that strongly. I really do. I wouldn't smack them, obviously. But I feel that strongly. Because you're all important, because we all have an assignment that no one else can fill. Now,